Hello and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Catherine Irving. On this week's recap, the Borough Assembly selects a candidate to fill an open seat on the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly.
I've had the privilege of working alongside Mark in several capacities, and when Mark commits to something, he gives it everything he has.
More on that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at kodiakhealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
Candidates on the ballot for August's primary election are set, and Alaska residents have until Sunday to register to vote. Eligible voters must be at least 18 years old, a U.S. citizen, and an Alaska resident, living in the district they want to vote for at least 30 days before the election. You can check your voter registration status and find your polling location online by visiting the State of Alaska Division of Elections website. The Division of Elections has also posted sample ballots online for the state's districts, including the House District 5, which covers Kodiak Island, Seward, Cordova, and areas of the Kenai Peninsula. On the ballot to represent District 5 in the State House are two Kodiak residents, Republican candidate Sheldon Prout and nonpartisan candidate Kathy Simpler. Incumbent Louise Stutz, a Republican from Kodiak, is not running for re-election and is instead seeking the state Senate seat, being left vacant by Gary Stevens of Kodiak. Stevens is retiring at the end of this legislative session after 26 years in the state legislature. Challenging Stutz in State Senate District C, which covers House District 5 communities and the southern Kenai Peninsula, including Homer, are Republican candidates Carrie Harris of Anchor Point and Heath Smith of Homer. Also on the ballot are 17 candidates running for the governorship. A similar number are running for Alaska's U.S. Senate seat and the lone U.S. House of Representatives seat. During the primary election on August 18th, voters will each select one candidate for their respective seats, and the top four vote-getters from each race will advance to the general election in November, regardless of party affiliation. Residents can register to vote online, by mail, or in person at Regional Division of Elections offices. Next up, all bycatch data from federally managed pollock, trawl, and groundfish fisheries in the state are now available in one place. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game recently launched a bycatch portal on its website years after it was recommended by the Governor's Bycatch Task Force. According to the department's website, this portal aims to, quote, provide transparent access to data, research, and management actions related to bycatch in Alaska's fisheries. The portal includes data from fisheries that are managed by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the International Pacific Halibut Commission. So far this year, the pollock, trawl, and groundfish fisheries in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands and in the Gulf of Alaska have caught 6,793 salmon, according to the bycatch portal. That total includes both Chinook and non-Chinook species as of July 4th. The state's bycatch portal is one of dozens of recommendations that the Alaska Bycatch Review Task Force included in its final report from December of 2022. Since then, an advisory council has been working to implement some of the task force's measures. But after setting up the bycatch portal, the Alaska Bycatch Advisory Council held what is likely its final meeting on May 4th. Based on the commissioner's order that created the council, it's slated to sunset in December, and the members have not scheduled any future meetings for this year. More information about bycatch in Alaska fisheries, including the latest numbers of salmon, halibut, and other bycaught species, can be found online at adfg.alaska.gov. Next up, Monday was Superintendent Daniel Brigman's first regular meeting with the Kodiak Island Borough School District Board of Education. Brigman officially started his three-year term as the head of the school district on July 1st, after Cindy Micah departed Kodiak. The meeting was sparsely attended, both by the public and by board members. Brigman joined the meeting virtually from Tennessee. He said he and several other school district staff were attending a professional development conference that was paid for by a grant the district received.
It's good to see you all, even though I'm online tonight, but it has been a great journey so far. I've learned a lot, and I have tried my best to reach out and engage in the community and the school system and put into practice what I've been saying, being all ears, going in and listening before I speak.
In his superintendent's report, Brigman praised the Kodiak Shakespeares and other students on their recent accomplishments and the board for their work so far. Board Vice President Jim Pryor echoed that sentiment for Brigman's first few weeks.
I know that Dr. Brigman is coming into a situation clear across country, new culture, new community, and has hit the ground running. I'm hearing from community members that he has impressed a lot of people. So, Dan, congratulations on that.
A key part of the board's work this summer has been ensuring the district's policies are in compliance with state requirements. During this week's meeting, the board discussed some updates to more than 40 policies. Board President Carrie Irons says some of them are outdated.
There are a lot of policies for us to consider this evening. Board policies sometimes require revision due to changes in state statute, and sometimes because they're simply out of date and they don't reflect our community.
The board adopted 5 of these policies at Monday's meeting. The rest will be up for the board to vote up or down at the next regular meeting on August 17th. Irons says that things will continue to be relatively quiet for the school board until August. But she said the calm has been welcome, particularly after cutting $2.7 million worth of staff and programs from this year's budget at the beginning of the year. Next up, 4 whales have washed up dead on Kodiak Island in the past week. 2 of these whales are on the road system, one on Surfers Beach near Passagshack and one in Chiniak. According to Matt Van Dale, the natural resources director at the Shunack tribe, at least 3 of them are gray whales and the 4th has not been determined.
The Surfers Beach whale decomposed very quickly. It would have been an excellent candidate for a full necropsy. But with the summer that we've been having in Kodiak, it was just too far gone, even when it washed up.
But he says they're hoping to find out what caused the other whales to die next week and confirm whether the 4th whale is a gray whale or a humpback. Van Dale says in total, 6 dead gray whales have been confirmed on the archipelago so far this year. Of those, he says at least 3 were young males. In previous summers, Van Dale says the stranded gray whales they found this time of year mostly died either of starvation or killer whale attacks. At least 1 of the whales found earlier this summer appear to have died from a killer whale attack. Record numbers of gray whales have also died elsewhere in Alaska and along the West Coast this summer, likely due to a lack of food resources in the Bering Sea.
The emaciated whales in the past, it seems like they only have so much gas in the tank before they can get here to Kodiak and then just don't have enough to keep going farther north. Also being weakened, not having the ability to evade the orcas is another thing, but the past 2 years it's been strange.
By strange, Van Dale means that way more gray whales have been coming into Kodiak than normal. He says they're still waiting for more data, but that it looks like there are also more whales than normal this year.
The good news is that we still have a lot of live, happy, healthy gray whales off the coast, and they did show up here about 2 to 3 weeks later this year.
Van Dale says that the reports from community members about the gray whale strandings have been vital to their work, particularly this week with so many strandings at once. With fuel prices still high because of the war in Iran, he says the Shunack tribe has not been able to do the boat surveys they normally do, so reports of stranded whales off of the road system are especially important this summer. Van Dale says anyone can report stranded whales or other marine mammals in distress by calling NOAA's Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Hotline Network. 3 cases of cyclosporiasis have been recorded since May in Alaska, but epidemiologists say it's too early to say whether the cases are part of the national outbreak, which is mostly concentrated in the Midwest. Alaska Public Media reports that 2 of the Alaska cases involved international travel. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have documented more than 1,600 cases since May and tied 400 to the outbreak. The illness is caused by eating food or drinking water contaminated with feces, but epidemiologists have not yet identified the source. Joe McLaughlin is head epidemiologist for Alaska. He says it's always important to be vigilant with food safety.
You never know, whether it's cyclospora or E. coli or what have you, there are all sorts of foodborne pathogens that can be present in produce that we buy from the grocery store. And so it's just a good idea to get in the practice of washing your fruits and vegetables thoroughly before you consume them.
McLaughlin says Alaskans should wash fruits and veggies well, even those that say they're pre-washed or ready to eat. He says the pathogen is killed when cooked and it doesn't typically pass from person to person. Symptoms of the illness vary but can include watery diarrhea and abdominal pain, vomiting, low fever or flu-like symptoms, which can last for weeks. He says anyone who develops ongoing symptoms should visit a clinician.
If you've got repeated bouts of watery diarrhea that just doesn't seem to be going away, that would be an indication to go in and get tested.
The illness is easily treated with antibiotics. Next up, 4 Kodiak residents applied to fill an open seat on the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly, which was left vacant by Dave Johnson earlier this summer. Last night, the Borough Assembly interviewed all 4 candidates and selected one of them to fill the seat until the municipal election in October. KMXT's Davis Hovey has more.
Former Assembly member Dave Johnson resigned from his seat last month. He and his family are relocating to the lower 48. That led the Kodiak Island Borough to open a 2-week application period for interested candidates to fill his seat. Mark Anthony Viscocho, Sean Brecky, Caleb Callahan, and Alexander Sweeney threw their names into the ring. Thursday night, the Borough Assembly spent 1.5 hours interviewing and voting on the 4 candidates in the Assembly chambers before selecting a winner that same night. Here's Borough Clerk Nova Javier with the results from the 5 present Assembly members' 2 rounds of ballot voting.
Mr. Viscocho, 4 votes, and then Mr. Brecky, 1 vote. So we have a majority vote for Mr. Viscocho.
Mark Anthony Viscocho is the president of the Filipino-American Association of Kodiak, the vice president of the Kodiak Booster Club, and the president of the PTA for East Elementary School. Before the Assembly made its decision Thursday night, multiple community members had already voiced their support for Viscocho, including the City of Kodiak's Fire Chief, Rich Gonzalez.
I'm here to offer my wholehearted support for the appointment of Mark Viscocho to the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly. I've had the privilege of working alongside Mark in several capacities, and when Mark commits to something, he gives it everything he has.
Viscocho was immediately sworn in as a Borough Assembly member during Thursday's meeting and will temporarily fill the seat until the municipal election in October. Viscocho told the Borough Assembly that although he will only be joining them for roughly 3 months, he plans to use this experience as a stepping stone to launch his bid for a 3-year term on the Assembly during the fall election. Fellow Assembly member Jeremiah Gardner congratulated Viscocho. On behalf of the whole Assembly, he also encouraged the other 3 applicants to try again during the fall election.
For those of you that weren't nominated, everybody up here would like to beg you to please put your name in the hat again. It was really hard to choose.
August 1st marks the start of the filing period for qualified Kodiak Island Borough residents wanting to run for any of the 4 Borough Assembly seats up for election this fall. The Borough Assembly's next regular meeting is scheduled for August 6th, and for transparency, Borough Mayor Jared Griffin is also the general manager at KMXT. Per KMXT's policy, he does not have any editorial influence over news stories, and he did not review this story before it was aired. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, 988 provides connection to free, confidential support. There is hope. The Lifeline works. For 24/7 confidential support, just call, text, or chat 988. This message is brought to you by the Kodiak Area Native Association.
If you enjoy the podcast and want to support local news, make sure to donate to KMXT. Just go on our website at kmxt.org and click the donate button in the top right corner of the page. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm your host, Catherine Irving. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.